So it's really just come down to just a reckoning with reality is all it is, right? I'm settling into reality. So I think my impression of myself is this kind of svelte, lean gazelle of sorts, you know, maybe an old sage-like buck that, you know, is leaned out and looking wise beyond his years. But I'm really just like a lump of stuff. Like I can walk and hike for miles, but if I'm running, like if I run, it's like the difference between sliding a China hutch, like nice and slow and easy across a hardwood floor, versus like dragging it, you know, against its will across a large lumpy surface where everything rattles and shakes and starts to come apart and the joints start to fail and then it just fucking sucks, and that's my body. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh my God, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. Leave it at Christmas to make a rock icon out of Burl Ives, of all people. That he's the fat snowman in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, so my body is like... it's all smoke and mirrors, I think, I've decided. But I'm enjoying it on a surface level. So I get to the gym, I get on the treadmill, I do quite well. But if I really force it now, like if I really break into like a real run on the treadmill as opposed to a hike or a walk, it is. It's like, you know, it's like a China hutch with cups and saucers and cabinet legs that are rattling and fighting for their life, you know. It's like just getting the shit shaken out of them, right? And the joints start to come apart, they kind of like cracks form, you know. Like when it's stress tested, when my body is stress tested, it starts to like, you can almost see like the scotch tape that holds it together, right? And but fuck it. So what's going on, everybody? How are you guys coping so far? How is everything? Are you maintaining? Are you staying even keel with your loved ones, with your rugrats, with your kids, with your significant other, with your in-laws, your outlaws, your up-laws, your scofflaws, are you staying on top of, you know, all your utilities now that it's kind of cooling off? And are you kind of testing the, you know, are you thinking, I can probably make it through this month without using my AC? Or what's going on? What's the theme? What is your theme for Christmas? Do you have like, do you kind of just phone it in? Do you just kind of open a closet door and drag out something that takes about 45 seconds of assembling, and then you just go move on with your life and just phone it in? Or is it kind of an endeavor? Is it kind of a big deal? Like I've basically kind of given in to the notion that I'm, again, myself, what I feel like how I feel like I operate is probably very opposite and in large contrast to how I really do operate. I feel like I'm stylish, and this is the type of season for me. And I've always got kind of like a nice, you know, stylish kind of theme music in my head that I'm using to take charge of the day. But in reality, I'm just kind of oafish, and maybe there's a slight bit of resignation, right? Like, fuck, like I'm just trying to keep it together. But I think this month might be different. It might be, Okay. So I think that like December is always a bit of a survival test for me of sorts, right? Because not only is there Christmas and then the kind of the mental gymnastics that come with that, just kind of trying to not be overwhelmed with expectation or anxiety or over the top the kind of displays and of gift giving or grandeur or excitement. I do like to take the odd trip during the December, whether it's out of town or just up to Tahoe or just something like that. I think I might try and feather something like that in, but the reality is, yeah, I've got three kids with birthdays. I got my lady's birthday in December, got Christmas, got Kwanzaa, all that shit. And so in an effort to keep it from kind of overwhelming or devouring me entirely, this is another one of those situations, I guess, where I'm just going to lean into it and just kind of smile and dive right in, right? Just whatever happens, like, take it all in stride, you know, muscle your way through it. Like, so Saturday, I got home and I had the place to myself and I was waiting on the lady, and then she gets home and she was a little bummed because she was like, oh, I just don't think you don't ever want to get married or get a ring or anything like that. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. So I kind of changed the subject and I got her smiling again, but it dawned on me, like, yeah, why not? Like, just give yourself over to the forlorn notion that you're just, you know, you're going to do the best you can. And what that involves is something you can do very well. You can really step up. You can really become, take the bull by the horns here. So Sunday morning, I wake up and I head for the gym, and that's where I start the way it's been working out is I'll do my rest days on Friday and Saturday, and kind of let all the cracks that formed in my stress test heal. and then Sunday I'm back at it. But it occurred to me, why don't I just get some damn rings? I'm going to create a theme. I want to create a theme for Christmas this year. Like, our apartment's clean. It's very stylish. Hardwood floors. My lady's got, she had yesterday and today off, so she needs to stay busy because idle hands are the devil's playground. And so I just gave her my credit card. Yeah. What did you say? Yeah, you heard it right. I just fucking gave her my credit card. I said, here, we're going to get some black rings. We're going to get some black titanium rings. It's time. All right. Ring Christmas bells, ring ding a ding, ring ding a ding, ring ding a ding, and then maybe go for like we're gonna do like a black themed Christmas. We're going black. I just got off the phone with her. I said, let's do it. Let's go back in black, baby. We're going all the way. Let's do this. Get stylish. Let's be what you envision yourself being, whatever that is. If it's sleek and sexy and blacked out, and let's fucking go. Let's do it. So one of the conversations we had was, in lieu of getting the kind of ubiquitous tree, whether it's alive or fake or something, get a dust off in your closet and put out there in a half-assed, you know, phone it in type way. Let's think outside the box. I know you walk into like Home Depot or Lowe's and, you know, on November 1st at 12:01 a.m. and they've got every freaking over the top ludicrous type holiday display ever conceived. And so just take, you know, you can kind of saunter through all that And there's got to be something like some kind of like cascading light display that forms a tree. Maybe it's blacked out. I don't know. Something to that notion. Not necessarily like go take the road less traveled, right? So again, it's like, you know, trees are fine, real trees are smell great, but it's like, what else you got? Like, come on, man. Like, it's, that's so like 1984, right? Like like a yawn fest, Yawnsville. Like, fuck, let's try something different. Let's kind of, let's zig instead of zag this time, right? So she's out running around. I put her in gold digger mode. She's working gold digger mode now, just running around with a credit card in her hand, just acting like a freaking, like a woman that just quit her full-time job as a dancer. She's getting after it. She's gonna run with this. And I just said, look, I'm gonna trust you. And because I gotta make some rounds. I had to make some rounds yesterday. Go pick up some donations and stuff like that. Gets me out of the house. I enjoy it. And I'm part of it too is kind of to placate her with, because Saturday when I saw her, I said, I'm probably going to do some camping. And I think she feigned like, that sounds, she said, what'd she say? She said, that sounds, what the hell did she say? She said, something simple like, that sounds like a blast. Yeah. And, but I know what she really meant. She meant like, fuck you and your camping. And that's what kind of inspired her state of being Saturday night after work. So that's how I respond. So when life gives you lemons, say fuck it and go have a beer, right? And go enjoy yourself and step up and just be bigger than the situation and just take charge. So that's what I did. And so as I'm in there, as I'm in the gym, you know, trying to keep all my parts together with scotch tape in there, she's snoozing, and I just simply text her like, I told her, I said, good morning, I have a very fun day planned for you. And then I left it at that. And then when she finally woke up, she said, she just sent me a little, a GIF that said, she's so excited, but she still didn't know what it was. I said, you're gonna be, I'll see you soon. And so when I got back, I kind of laid it out for her. I said, this is, here's your gold digger card. Go out and let's fucking make this month our bitch. We're going to make this month our bitch, right? And so that's where we're at. She's out running around. Well, this was yesterday now. She's out running around doing her thing. And I'm just sitting here kind of watching the Lions beat the Saints. And just kind of... the Niner-Eagle game hasn't happened yet, but I'm going to make a prediction right now at 1:35 p.m. on Sunday that I think the Eagles are going to beat the Niners. And I don't know how. I don't know how they do that. I don't know how they win. Well, I don't know how they win. I mean, that's a good defense. It's a good offense, but it's just there's – I don't know. When you talk about the Eagles, you don't go, oh, God, well, you know, their defense is shut down. It's shut down. Like shut down defense, or you know, they got so and so. They find a way to make it work, but there isn't one. I don't know. Am I missing something? Is there one distinguishing feature that I'm overlooking? But Saturday night. So I didn't even realize that the damn Pac-12 championships were Friday. Missed him completely. Looked like a good game. Washington remains undefeated. in beating Oregon. So Oregon pretty much kind of shot themselves in the foot. But Washington looks like they're going to be one of the final kind of four going into the playoffs. And I was watching, Saturday night as my lady was working, I was watching the big, the Alabama-Georgia game, the SEC championships. And you got to hand it to Nick Saban. What the hell? They're not going to let, like, I don't know what it is about certain ball coaches. The old ball coach, Steve Spurrier, you know, in his day. He was like Florida's coach forever until he went, I think it was Florida, before he made the leap to the NFL and was unceremoniously just kind of got his shit pushed in. Really didn't have much of a go at it in the NFL, and was sent packing and went back to college football, where he ended up at fucking South Carolina when he got back. Is that right? Let's see. The old ball coach. Let's see what's going on. Steve Spurrier. Quite a character, but also kind of a loudmouth. Steve Spurrier is an American football coach. Well, player and coach. Played 10 seasons in the NFL. Okay. Played college football as a quarterback for the Florida Gators, where he won... Oh, shit, he won the Heisman Trophy? I did not know that. Let's see. Coaching career, yeah. So he went to... Wow. He was the quarterback's wide receiver coach for Florida. Georgia Tech. Duke. Back to Florida. Oh, that's right. The Redskins. That's who it was. And then he was only there from 02 to 03. Yeah, I remember it was pretty... I think he went like 8-8. It wasn't a very magnanimous thing, but... and then he left and went back to college and coached at South Carolina for 10 years, from 05 to 2015. But guys like that and like Nick Saban, they're just... There's something about... Like, they've figured out... They figured out the college system. They can game the college system, evidently. But the NFL just eludes them somehow, because Nick Saban was he's another byproduct of Florida. And then ended up going to the Miami Dolphins. But who was he? He was with he was all over the place. Ohio State, Navy, Michigan State even? LSU, yeah. So his big... probably his biggest successful... What, he was with the Houston Oilers in 88? What the fuck? Anyway, yeah, I think his big mark was with the LSU 2000 to 2004, but he went to the Miami Dolphins in 05 and 06, and still he had a rough go of it there as well. I don't think he produced much better than maybe a game over 500. So some, for whatever reason, like, there's just collegiate types that don't make that transition. But then there's some that do. You know, Pete Carroll had a lot of success with the Patriots back in the 90s, then went to USC, where he won the national championship, albeit with some really sketchy recruiting violation situations. As a matter of fact, Reggie Bush was forced to give up his Heisman Trophy during the Pete Carroll era. And then Pete Carroll bounced before the whole shithouse went up, and Matt Leinart, that whole era just kind of faded into the woodworks. But Pete Carroll kind of rose from the ashes of that and went to Seattle and won a Super Bowl. So the dude's got some credentials. But Nick Saban, getting back to Nick Saban, this motherfucker, he's at Alabama now. And Alabama just, it's by law, you have to win at Alabama. Like, there's no, like, they don't allow more than one loss per season, I believe, with Alabama. And so when they went into the SEC championships against Georgia, Georgia's undefeated, and Alabama squeaked one out last weekend against who was it? It took them a fourth quarter end zone kind of or not a fourth. I mean, it was fourth quarter, but a fourth down kind of a throw back to the back of the end zone, kind of a not a Hail Mary, but just like it was that or nothing, and on a fourth down, Alabama caught one of the most beautiful passes you'll ever see in the back end of the end zone to win and go to the SEC championship. Who the hell are they playing? Was it like Oklahoma State or something like that? And so Nick Saban's one of those guys that he's got college figured out, but NFL seems to elude him. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. So, but Alabama came through and just fucking bitch slapped. It was closer than, or it wasn't as close as the score indicated, 27-24, because look at Alabama pretty much kind of controlled that game from the beginning. So whatever forces were at play to make that happen, I mean, here you go. But it's typical, like SEC is all about college football. That's all they care about, right? Georgia, Alabama, Texas. All those southern, southeastern, Florida State. So Urban Meyer, he was basically kind of in the announcer's booth during the SEC championship. And you can call it an upset, Alabama over Georgia. He was calling the college football championship was going to be Michigan, Washington, Texas, Alabama, because Texas made pretty easy work of Oklahoma State? It's always, I don't know. When in doubt, just guess Oklahoma State. But Michigan walloped Iowa. That wasn't even that. Iowa had no business being there. They haven't put up any offense all season. It's just they're all defense. Michigan, I mean, they got Iowa could have won that game too, but Michigan had like an 87-yard kick return for punt return for a. To set up a short yardage touchdown. And then they had a weird turnover Iowa made, which looked like an incomplete pass, but in the official ruling, they ended up overturning it, and it became a fumble that was unwittingly picked up by a Michigan Wolverine, again on a short yardage play that they converted. So they didn't overwhelm Iowa with a lot of offense. It was just Iowa shooting themselves in the foot and then trying to recoup on defense, but just wasn't too little too late. So that's where I had lodged myself Saturday night. So I missed the Pac-12 championship. I watched the SEC championship. I watched some of the ACC with Florida State and Louisville, but just Louisville was just, I think they were outclassed. But those are good. I guess those are good picks. Michigan, Washington, Texas, Alabama. And of those four, it's going to probably be like, if I had to guess, Michigan, Alabama is what we're going to be dealing with for a national title. Washington looks good, though. They climbed all the way to number three. Just slowly and methodically climbed the ranks all year and just bitch slapped any challenger that got in their way, whether it was Oregon, whether it was Washington State, Oregon State, UCLA, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. USC, doesn't matter. So there you go. There you go. That's my so speaking of college, speaking of Florida, speaking of high-priced cuticles, speaking of high-priced hygiene equipment, Parker Valby breaks the 5,000-meter collegiate record for Florida indoors just 2 weeks after basically just running away from everybody in the NCAA cross-country championships. Parker Valby starts the indoor season on a high note, fucking going out and just busting out a 14:56 at the Sharon Collier Danville season opener Saturday. The only one to ever break the 15-minute barrier, collegiately, female-wise. She took down Emily Sisson's previous record of 15:12, which was set in 2015. But it's the fastest time indoors or outdoors. So, fuck, man. When I was listening to that interview of hers on, was it Sidious Mag, on their podcast, she only runs like three times a week, and she does CrossFit cross training the rest of the week. And she comes from a lacrosse background. Like, those are the people that you just can't fucking stand, you know? You're just like, how, you know, you just were playing lacrosse, and you're into lacrosse, and just on a whim, you just decided to go try distance running and just became like this phenom. Like, that's amazing, and that's great, but fuck, man. What a crap out. You know? Like, she just fucking goes out and busts out a sub 15. You know? I think she's a junior. Am I right? Because she was second in the NCAA cross country 2 years ago. As a sophomore, I want to say. Then she won it all this year as a junior. I think she's only a junior. Like, Jesus Christ, man. But, fuck. Let's go. Let's start the season indoors. Let's fucking go. LFG. Let's make it happen. Let's make some shit happen. You know what I'm saying? But it's all par for the course. It's keeping up with the theme of just having, like, establishing a good situation. Setting the tone for the month. That's what she's doing. And that's what I'm doing. I'm setting the tone for this month. I'm blacking out Christmas. It's a blacked out Christmas. I like it. Just smile and dive right in and just see what happens. And just run with it. Just roll. Just do it as if it's all always intentional, you know? Be the sexy motherfucker you envisioned yourself being this month, right? You know? So, aside from that, I just kind of, you know, I'm Without letting myself kind of, you know, again, be overrun with duty and obligation. Because, I got three kids and my lady with birthdays this month plus Christmas. I'm just going to let I'm going to let things happen. I'm going to let things take shape, unfold. Whilst setting the tone for the holidays. Like, I'm going to run the day before it runs me. I'm going to run the month before it runs me. So, it's just, it's kind of a new life. It's my new life. It's kind of a new chapter. It's life in the apartment complex. One way of looking at it. One way of looking at it. You can look at it in one of, like anything, you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it as you're just kind of enjoying yourself, and the kids are outside and laughing and playing. And are they loud, obnoxious kids outside, or are they colorful, playful kids like you'd see in like a small little French hamlet, right, where they're enjoying themselves? Well, don't be put off by the actions and the obnoxiousness of everything going on around you. Again, lean into it and embrace it and celebrate it, enjoy it, right? I'm gonna get my mom an air fryer. No, that wasn't a weird, awkward editing splice. I just thought, you know what? Yeah. So on top of that, I'm getting my lady a ring, I told you, right? Well, she's getting us rings. That's our gift to each other. And we're going black titanium. And then we get my mom an air fryer. And then I think I'm going to buy, well, so for my oldest, my 21-year-old, who she's turning 22 on the 14th, I'm going to actually just buy her a nice dinner. She's going out with her friends. She's into like the whole Michelin star thing. We were talking about that Wednesday when I called her. And she's into the whole, these aren't, and she's got a short list of places she wants to check out. And there's always good dining somewhere in LA. But we were talking about how, I don't know, I seem to think that the Michelin starred thing is kind of a shakedown of sorts. And it is. But at the same time, it's still, there's good food. It's good fucking food. It's just expensive. And there's, you know, tasting menus and shit like that. But I'm going to buy her and her friends and her roommates dinner for her birthday. But the twins, I don't know. Oh, and then my son, he wants to go camping, so I gotta lean into that. I'm thinking about Mount Diablo. I'm trying to set that up. That's kind of the impetus for all this effort in creating kind of a smoke signal black flag style diversion with my lady to set her on her course and go have her run around town with a credit card so that I can plan my camping trip. So maybe that sounds a little kind of asshole-ish, but I'm not looking at it that way. She's doing what she likes to do right now, going out, spending money, and I'm setting up a camping trip that I'll probably take next Saturday. And it's just me and the boy, you know, as a theme, I don't know, as a, maybe a small kind of endeavor that I'll put towards his birthday is kind of an outing. He and I'll do some kind of outing like that, you know, just kind of go perch ourselves on top of a mountain somewhere and just kind of hang out in the Subaru and just go do some hiking, some shit. Who fucking knows? I don't know. And then my youngest, of course, their birthday is, the twins are the 20th, so she should be, I think she'll be back home by then. So that one's a little up in the air. And, but she might be even starting an internship today, she'll know she changed her, her major to marine biology. She went from like theater arts to marine biology, which is a natural transition. Makes perfect sense. And she's up for a paid internship that she'll know about today sometime. So I'm looking forward to that. Like, a lot of stuff going on. It just pays to stay busy and keep busy and but do it with a willing purpose, right? Setting the tone, creating a theme, the blacked out Christmas. It's a blacked out Christmas. Yeah, it's like a Metallica album, right? It's fucking, let's go. Like, let's just get let's just get interactive with this. Let's get wild. Let's have fun. Let's fucking, let's make it one that you're just not, you know, when you're done with, you're just like, oh, I'm glad I survived that. No, you go, wow, that was amazing. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's it. I think that's it. I think in the whole ball of wax, I think that's what, that's the one thing we can all kind of strive for, is to have, just not survive, but set the tone, create the memories, start the new chapter. Let's fucking go. All right. And that's it. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to talk about right now. I'm just too worked up. I'm too excited. All right. So other than that, I hope everything works out for everybody this month. And let's fucking go. And I'll talk at you later. Arrivederci, babies.